Baptism is a ritual, a sacrament in our church that goes back literally to the time of the Hebrew Bible. So let us now turn to that Bible and to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 11 through 16, and following with verses 20 through 24. If you'd like to follow along, it's in your pew Bible on page 756. Hear these words. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places of which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. If you'd like to follow along, it's in the New Testament on page 181 in your pew Bibles. Hear now Paul's prayer. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The Lord, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The final reading is the gospel reading, the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. You can find it in your New Testament on page 27. I'll be reading Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. This passage we often hear as a reading toward individuals, and it is, but it was designed as a passage to be heard about nations of people. In fact, the subtitle there is The Judgment of the Nations. So think about both of these items as you hear these words. And this is Jesus speaking. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at the right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. And I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. And then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of these, the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
That image of sheep and a shepherd is pretty familiar when you look at Scripture. In fact, we find it throughout the Old Testament and also throughout the New Testament. Today is Christ the King Sunday, but it's also Thanksgiving Sunday. So I hope you'll let me tell you a story and see if I might focus your thinking to try to bring those disparate items together. When I was a kid, as some of you may know, my father was a professor at Ohio State University. Now, OSU was a big campus. It had an agricultural school. And because it had an ag school, it also had on its campus a full-size working farm. And about every 3 or 4 months, my sisters and I would break down my parents' resolution and we would convince them that they needed to take us to the farm at OSU so we could see and touch the animals. Well, I remember one of my favorite places to go was the sheep barn. Now, I know that some of you were raised on farms and ranches, so you may be able to visualize what I'm going to tell you. But the best part for me was going into the sheep pens to see those critters. But you know, it wasn't at all like what I expected. The experience that I had the first time I saw a real live sheep was not at all what I thought it would be like. You see, in the kids' books that you read when you're a little guy, all the sheep are puffy, and they're very white, and they kind of look like walking clouds with sticks for feet. Well, they don't look like that in person. The sheep that I saw were shaggy and smelly and noisy. They had brought these sheep out from the pasture, and they had herded them into the shearing pen, getting ready to shear them. And I can remember the sheep shearer waded in amongst all the woolly bodies. He picked out one, and he lifted it up, took it to the side of the pen, and flipped it over on its back. And as you know, when that happens, the sheep sort of lies there docilely, resigned to whatever its fate will be, and it has no clue what that is. But then the sheep shearer takes the shears, and he starts up along the belly. And that sheep, I just couldn't believe it, it's lying there. You know, and it's got dirt and poop in its fur. And there's sticks and bugs coming out all over its body. So he reaches down with the shears and starts row by row
cutting off that woolly fleece, and it lays back. And it's like right underneath there is this gorgeous, sleek, bright white sheep. So he finishes with the shearing, and there's this pile of smelly, sort of fetid wool. And the sheep, he sort of flicks the sheep, it bounds up, and it runs off to its sheep buddies. And it's almost, that sight reminded me of watching, have you ever seen a butterfly come out of a cocoon? You know, there it is, a brand new creature full of possibility. Well, later on in the year, we would convince our folks to take us to the Ohio State Fair. How many of you have ever been to a state fair? Okay. Well, one of my favorite places at the state fair was, again, the sheep barn. Because you got to look at all the prize sheep. And then the best thing was going to watch them in the competitions, where they'd toot them out and they would take a look at the presentation and the body build, and they'd look all over them. And then after the judging was complete, we'd go back and walk up and down the pens, and we'd find the blue ribbon winner. So you'd walk by all the big puffy sheep, and they look good. And then you came to the blue ribbon winner, and we spent a few minutes looking at that. And I swear, that sheep with the big giant blue ribbon on the outside of his pen had a giant smirk on his face. He's kind of saying, I'm the blue ribbon winner for this year. Well, it sounds from your laughter that maybe you've had some of the same kind of experiences. When you think about these readings that we had today, when you think about today being Christ the King Sunday, you recognize that this sheep shepherd metaphor has some problems. Now, the God that you're supposed to understand from Paul's letter to the Ephesians is the Lord of all nations, the God of all earthly gods. The God who is higher than dominion and principality. The God whose name should be revered from now until all of eternity. And yet at the same time, we are supposed to accept that this God, Christ the King, is a shepherd. If you know anything about Old Testament times, you recognize that the shepherd was the lowliest of the low. That was about the worst profession. People considered shepherds as the dregs of society. And yet, this shepherd is the good shepherd, Christ the King. But we also run into troubles when we think about ourselves in this metaphor, because we're expected to see ourselves as sheep. Now, most of us, in our heart of hearts, don't want to be seen as that smelly, stinky sheep wandering around aimlessly. But you know, on Thanksgiving Sunday, there are many parts of this metaphor that are true, and it probably does us good to consider ourselves as that lowly sheep. That maybe we can lower our sights just a little bit and recognize that perhaps that's part of the metaphor that rings true. God gives us everything we have, everything we are and everything we have, just as the shepherd provides for his sheep. God provides everything we need. Not everything we want, mind you, but God provides everything we need. The shepherd takes his sheep to the lofty mountainsides, provides green pasture, takes the sheep to flowing mountain streams, allows them to breathe in the fresh air, and God provides us with everything we need at just the right time. And just as the shepherd is there to protect the sheep from coyote or wolf or storm, God is there to protect us in some of the difficult times in our lives as well. You know, I wonder sometimes if our lives might not also look like the same predicament that sheep is in when they come in off of the range and head into the shearing pens. I wonder if in your life you haven't looked at yourself in the mirror and thought, smelly, shaggy, dirty, in need of something. And the wonderful thing about God is that God sees you not when you're all ready and primped and primed to go to the state fair, but when you are dirty and smelly. And God can see past that filth. God can see your potential underneath. And just in the nick of time, Jesus is there to herd us along into the shearing pen. when about all we can do is bleed out in our own self-pity about the horribleness of our lives. And Jesus is there anytime we need it to flip us over, ask us to lie docilely, taking the shears of grace and strip off all of our sin and all of our past, forgiving us of all of our shortcomings. So that we bound up and move off into life, we are new creatures, ready to seek a new path, a new way of following the Shepherd Jesus Christ. God is always there for us, always ready to help us. Now, let's not be too romantic about this sheep image. God indeed will judge us. God will judge us about how we treated the least, the last, the lost of our neighbors. The Good Shepherd sets a pretty high bar for His flocks. But whoever said that being a sheep in the fold of Jesus Christ was going to be an easy journey? But you know what? Jesus is always there to provide us everything we need to be a good and true Christian. God will always show us the way through pasture, through good feed, through water, through clean air. The great thing about God is that even though God will judge us, it is truly possible that every one of us can win the blue ribbon. In fact, in God's eyes, you are already a winner. I hope that this week, this Thursday, as it is Thanksgiving, I pray that you'll take some time to take stock of your lives, to recognize the good things, to recognize that God loves you more than you will ever know, to recognize that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and can be your very best friend, to recognize that the Holy Spirit can transform your world, can give you enthusiasm and energy and zeal for life. My brothers and sisters, we have many, many things for which to be thankful. And we are truly blessed. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen.